you approach her in prayer. We have some requests you want to remember. Brother Paul Gonzalez requests prayer for God's protection after receiving threats from his landlady yesterday. Brother Ivan Lashley requests prayer for a co-worker's husband, Campbell Yearwood, who is suffering with an intestinal problem. Prayer is also requested for the salvation of his soul. What an opportunity we have to know we can stand in the presence of the Almighty God. And we, who are so weak and insufficient in our own selves, have the privilege to come before Him, who is all-powerful, make our requests known unto Him, having this confidence that if we ask according to His will, we already have the petitions that we desire. For when you stand praying, believe that you have received what you have asked for, and you shall have it. With an opportunity like that, will you understand that God wants to give us and promise to give unto us, even told us that we can ask that our joys may be full. We'd really be a foolish people to stand in His presence and have this opportunity and then not ask. But may you come believing that God is able to do the exceedingly abundantly above all you ask or think. For it is written, he that cometh to God must first believe that He is, and that He is rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So with that attitude, let's stand with faith and let's ask that we might receive what we have need of this morning. Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we stand in the divine presence this Sunday morning in the house of the Lord, what a glorious opportunity it is for us to enter your gates, to come into your courts with praise and with thanksgiving in our hearts, to know that you have given us exceedingly great and precious promises. You shed your blood to redeem them back unto us. Your Holy Spirit is here present amongst us to bring them to pass. For it was your love that moved you when you saw how needy we were, Father, insufficient of our own selves. As the song says, it was love that drew salvation plan. It was grace that brought it down to man. A mighty gulf in its span at Calvary. Lord, when we think of that, we realize, Father, we'd never ever be worthy to stand in our own merit and ask for anything. But Lord, we stand this morning knowing we are standing beneath the blood of Jesus Christ. That makes us all sufficient. That makes us all complete, Father. And that is where we place our faith this morning. And we stand in your presence. Father, we ask that you forgive us our sins and our shortcomings, our trespasses. May your blood be applied to us now and may it sanctify every heart. As we stand, Lord, we will be able to stand with confidence. And what, Lord, we ask for, we can ask for with faith. And Lord, hear these requests. No doubt there may be others that the people might be holding their hearts before you at this time. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, as your Son is our protection. Lord, I think of that time when that mamba was loose, coming to bite that brother. And oh God, all of a sudden your prophet standing there, power came down. Surrounded him, Lord, and gave him such a bravery, such a courage. And the voice spoke and said, I give you power to bind that serpent, him or the worst. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, that same power, that same God, that same never-failing presence that surrounded the prophet, brought the spirit of bravery and confidence upon him, and that voice that spoke and gave him such an assurance against every evil power, every evil force, that he could bind him or the worst. Lord God, thou shalt promise not only unto your prophet, but unto your bride, Father. And I pray that would come to your son. Hallelujah. That even though, Lord God, all hell would assail. Hallelujah. He'd be sheltered in the rock of ages. He'd be surrounded by the power of the Almighty God. A peace in his heart. In a time of storm. Bless him and strengthen him, O God. Undergird him. As you told Abraham, I have your shield and the exceeding great reward. When all the host of darkness was trying to come against him, you even gave him the victory against them. I pray, O God, you stand on his side at this time, and he would be encouraged. In his family, be protected and surrounded by the never failing presence of Jesus Christ. But then, how that I command to be strong and for good courage. O God, be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee with a servant of grace. For no weapon formed against thee shall prosper. So let it be for him this morning. The Lord is out of request, but Ivan, standing on behalf of his friend, Lord God, may your hand of mercy reach out as a believing soul. Lord, displaying the life of Christ, a token on his job. Lord, a testimony. And you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Oh God, and he's calling upon the name of his God. It might be for a sign, a witness. Oh God, that they might know that it is God, the God that he serves is God. And they might come to find a way of salvation. God, may you grant to be merciful. Extend your hand of mercy this morning. And all these others that might be holding a request and believing, Heavenly Father, you are all sufficient. And Lord, he that cometh unto you, you will in no wise cast out. I pray that the grace of Almighty God will just flow out to every believing heart. And Lord God, your great, mighty, omnipotent power, Lord. Lord, you'd break every yoke. And you'd set every captive free. You'd meet every need, whatsoever the nature of it might be this morning. You might show yourself alive and all sufficient in the lives of your people and the midst of this congregation. And Heavenly Father, I pray during the course of this service, you'd speak to us and the church be lifted in the power of God. Lord God, we see the church rising to this height that is ordained to come to, Father. God, let every man or woman, boy or girl, God, may you filter our thinking this morning by your word. May we have a holy man taste, a holy woman taste this morning. Grant it, Father. Let the holy veil of Almighty God drop around us and surround us. May the fire of God tear away every lost veil, Father. Put it aside that we can walk before you and be perfect in this hour. And you can say, this is my beloved son, this is my beloved daughter in whom I am pleased to dwell in. Oh God, may you grant it this morning. We commit ourselves to you for service. Lead and direct us and get honor and glory in our midst. For we ask it in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Did you turn to the Bible, Genesis chapter 2? Revelation chapter 3. Genesis chapter 2, reading from verse 25. And going down to the 7th verse of chapter 3. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. I want to catch that right there. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he had said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, You shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and you shall be as God, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw the tree was good for food, and was pleasant to the eyes, and a treat to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made aprons. Now what's something here? Verse 25, they were naked, and they didn't know it. Verse 7 in chapter 3, they were naked and they knew it. And what happened between chapter 1 to 6, and then they made fig leaves and they covered themselves, is what had been happening for 6,000 years upon the face of the earth. That is the answer. How the holy veil was taken away. And a lost veil was put on. And the seed to find where that took place is right inside of here. And watch how we're going to bring these things out this morning by the grace of God. Revelation chapter 3. We write here under the inspiration, the point of these last 7 vials. And I want to just drop in a little message here before we start on Tuesday. I want to call it Laodicea, the insane age. I want to call it a subject and know it not. That's why I played a tape here for you recently. I know it not. And you hear me been dropping that off during the meetings here about the holy veil and all these things and the thinking being filtered. I want to just pause and put a little focus upon those things this morning. Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Now in Revelation, now in the end of the book. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot, I would thou art cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, this is the Bible says, judge yourself, you will not be judged. This is the self-judgment of the church. She judges herself, and that's how she sees herself in her own eyes. Because thou sayest, you saying that, I am rich and increased with goods, and knowest, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. So here the church is naked again and don't know it. Just like Adam and Eve in Genesis was naked and didn't know it. Here the church in that condition is naked and don't know it. But this time it's not a holy veil. Because God is saying, you say that. Because of her covering that she made. Because of her fig leaves she got together and covered herself, which is her own religion. And when she's in that religion, that conception, that influence, she sees, well, I'm alright. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, the white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. Let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. Our Heavenly Father, God, I pray this morning that you would take these simple truths, break them open, let the anointing be released. Let our eyes be anointed. Let us have a clear vision. Let a real, true, divine consciousness be inspired to our hearts. The Lord God, when we see, we'll see through the eyes of your revealed word. That we'll be able to walk in the light as you are in the light. And have fellowship one with the other. That fellowship is broken back in Eden. But Lord, we want to have that fellowship where the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse us from all sin, all unbelief. That we can be children of light. Grant it, Father. We ask it this morning. Speak to us directly, personally, individually, in the name of Jesus Christ, for your honor and your glory. Amen. And have a seat. I want to welcome everyone to the house of God this morning. We're writing the message. We want to keep it long because we want to come back from Tuesday, the Lord willing. We're going to see how it's going to go, if we're going to go right through or what. I just don't want to make you, you know, sacrifice to a place where, you know, you're going to get your whole self disorganized with your home and all these things. But by the grace of God, I'm just feeling the lateness of the hour and where the church ought to be, and believing that the Holy Spirit is giving unto us these things, that we could just capitalize on it because it is needed for the days that are ahead. And it's such a treacherous time. I think last week we just spent the service laying that in of the hour. It's a treacherous hour that we are living in, sailing through treacherous waters. We need to keep our eyes on the North Star, have the absolute, have the anchor, have the captain of the ship called Jesus on the scene, still the storms. That's the time that we're in. Not a nice time where your hands in your pocket and you cross your leg and just a big smile on your face. No. It's a time where every hour of the day, take an inventory. You know, a church spirit can come upon people so easy that you can play church. You know, it's a religious age. A lot of people have a form of godliness. God rejoicing and singing and laughing and praising God. All that is good. But if you ain't living that, you're wasting your time with sounding brass and a tickling cymbal. It best you didn't do it because it's hypocrisy. You understand what I'm saying? So then the time that we are in is live voices that's going to shake the devil. It's live voices God is looking for. Turned in holiness, in sweetness, in purity, undefiled lives, moving along, lives ready. Here we are, Lord, send me. Prepared servants. Ready for this hour. I've been studying here the past few days, and I don't want to strike those things in the back of Revelation here yet. I started in chapter 15. You see, I didn't go back to it this morning because I've been studying there to kind of set it. And then chapter 14, the Lord just opened up some tremendous things in chapter 14. And for years, I've been reading that there and couldn't make no headway into all these things, the great wine press and the fierceness of the wrath of God and the sickle and coming the cloud and all these things, and you know how the vats overflow and coming the valley of Jehoshaphat. And then this week the Lord just opened up, and I didn't want to go into this morning because you come here and the morning is hot, being the daytime and the sun there, and then the kind of building we have is not suitable for long services, though we wear the people out many times, holding them in this hot building and trying to point in. And you'll find, I thought then I was going to leave back those things so when we come to the meetings in the evening time when it's cool and we could spend a little more hours and go into the Word and maybe just kind of concentrate on a more evangelical side, but just dropping a little teaching where it's necessary to, you know, to help the people along. And then we always have a lot of visitors. We always appreciate them coming in, especially on Sunday morning visiting. But it's good to come in during the week too. Amen. You come in Sunday morning and a little message preached, and you feel all stood up and nice, and you get your little blessing, and you go back home, and then you say, "My, enjoy a nice service week," and you just continue on in Sunday worship. But then what's actually happening? Don't stop. They come and be baptized. Call upon the name of the Lord. Wash away your sins. Get right with God. The hour of judgment is at hand. It's not somebody, you walk in on Sunday morning, you hear a message preached and talk about some things, the lateness of the hour and these things, and then somebody say, "My, you know, that is true. The hour is very late," and it's very true. And, you know, we are living the last days, and after a while you're going to find you're just saying that and you get no different. And then you're in a serious trouble. But when you begin to get like that, and you're watching your life is not measuring up with the world, then you're in serious trouble. Because this is the hour when God wants to strike somebody and say, speak! This is the hour when God is unveiling people in His likeness. People in His image. This is the hour when birth pains in the world of a fivefold ministry bring on birth pains upon the blind. Breaking forth the waters of a revival and the blood of Jesus Christ coming on. Amen. To bring a total submission of all unbelief. That the baptism of the Holy Ghost could drop upon the church. To put her into action. To show a manifestation of Jesus Christ. And if people have not been understanding, and I've been telling you lately, as the Holy Spirit further identifying these things, that's why last week Saturday night, before we hit the Sunday morning, instead I went into the message right away, I stood there, just like the leading of the Holy Spirit, to pause there and tell you and explain to you that there is something going on inside the church. Yeah. Yeah. And show you where we are. And I even tell you, I say, right here, catching my inspiration, preaching during the week, I say, something is happening, the anointing is changing, we are changing time. Yeah. And I would not be able to do anything for anybody. I'd only be able to recall to you the former things that you received and the exhortation was given unto you, and that you walk away from it and show you where you didn't mix the word with faith, so it is not profiting you when the enemy comes like a flood. Because I ain't God. I don't have the power to turn rats into horses. To turn pumpkins into chariots and rugged people into beautiful maidens. I don't have the power to do that. I preach the gospel and do not come to the world of separation. Amen. Amen. God, anoint me and make thunderbolt and lighten the pulpit to make it separate from sin. To take a sharp knife and circumcise it a second time and cut the flesh away from around the camp. But then you make your calling and your election sure. You work out your salvation fear trembling. See? You have received, even though you don't believe me or have even thought of me, you saw a prophet that lived the life of Christ in this generation. That your example, his message, you're following, and warn to you if you don't walk in it. And if I stand up being a hypocrite and preaching something false and living contrary, then you would be guilty of staying here too. And hugging up sin and walking away from it. And if I stand here preaching the truth and living an honorable life before you and you live hypocritically, then woe unto you sitting down there after you have that kind of example before you. That is the hour that we are living in. And sometimes I pray, God, how else could I preach it? How else could I make it plain? How else could I say it? That you say it is real. You get in your private room, you get before God and you weep and you cry, and you cry to God and you see the scriptures breaking, the Holy Spirit revealing the things, and you're going to speak it, and you think it's going to have effect on people, and you say, have no effect. As a minister, you watch the hour and you say, no, that's my people are nice people. Yeah. That's those other churches out there. Not my people, my people are the best of the people in the country. The cream of the crop in the world. And then God says, that's your people too. Like in Ezekiel, they say, you are only one with a nice voice. They come because you say it nice. But then watch the life and see if what you're saying have that kind of effect upon them. You see? So that's what I'm saying. No, inside of here is a different kind of thing because we are on a different line altogether. And as long as I stand on this pulpit, I'm going to try to
to preach the way I see in the world the church must be. And until the people don't match that, I have to keep preaching that until they get there. You see? And then it'll be very hard for a minister to say, God, then you become the guy who is passed with the poison. As the prophet said, talking about Brother Neville, he said, you diagnosed the case, but the man coming along with the injection pan after giving the injection, he causing the pain. When he diagnosed the case, he don't cause no pain. But the man who's sticking you with the needle and giving the injection, that is causing pain. Yeah. Who put that antidote in there to kill them germs inside the body? Yeah. 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 So then that's the person we're going to keep 50 feet from. Because wrong him is needles. And then other people, it's easier and nicer to walk around them because they don't have the needle pan, they don't need diagnosing. Now it's time people grow up. If you think you're going to rapture, you have to grow up. If you think you're going to finish this commission, you have to grow up. Not grow a beard. Not grow a punch or something. Not grow big in your body. Grow up spiritually in your thinking. In other words, have your thinking filtered. Because people thinking is being muddied up by all kind of false impressions and all kind of false things being presented to them that makes it look fashionable and shows the majority behind it. So then it becomes the acceptable way. Because people have lose the conviction if it's them alone. Where there's 2, 3, 4, 5 people, 6 people, where the majority start. They lose their conviction because they have partners, they have friends. Amen. They have others in the club. Amen. You know, like, isn't I alone will go in hell and burn then? Isn't I alone how to face this shit? Isn't I alone how to face this? Amen. And people just feel that kind of way. Amen. Don't never let the devil deceive you to wear away your conviction like that, you know. And when God convicts you, and the word convict you. Don't let nobody come and take other scriptures like grace, 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 and make God look one big loving figure. But I'm going to hear so much of that until I get sick to my stomach. Yeah. God is judge sin. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. And as long as it's inside of here, it'll be judged. Yeah. The Ephesians says, come out of the world, and he's going to make sure the world will come back in among them. They took steps to keep their body unleavened from sin. Holiness wasn't a manner of speech, a phrase of speech. It was a manner of life. You who have been around know I've been saying that for years. A lot of people, they just want to go along. Now you see, inside of here, it have one will. And that is a will of the word, the secret place to be entered into. Because to enter into fellowship with God, they have to come to the water of separation to enter into fellowship. They have to come to the filter to enter into fellowship. I only come here to enter into fellowship with God. Though you have your own world and your own private world at home and on the job and your different worlds, when we enter in here, we all enter in the presence of God and we come into the Word. Amen. Amen. So that is a very treacherous hour. And I want to just pick up the dropping this little message here this morning. So we're going to come back in the week, and Tuesday week we're going to start. And we'll start 7 p.m. nightly, just as we did before. We're trying to kind of finish out these on the vials. There's really a lot of messages there to really put on everything, and we just kind of put out how much we could just to make it plain that to the people. And, you know, there's many parts of it, and the last few services have been more striking the part of setting the scene for you. And showing you when it's going to take place, where it's going to happen, how you're going to control the Mosaic lights and these things, how your judgment, how the people on the road to Armageddon are ready, what the supper is, how God they took the plagues of the earthquake and the hailstone, when it's going to come, how Babylon is going to be destroyed. All these things, we're going to place out these things there for you. And let me see exactly where these things are. But then, you know, there's also another phase which I've been telling you, and I've been trying to drop it in there today. It's kind of hard to preach some of those things before a mixed congregation like this, other young people and little children and these things. And then to go in there to show, as the prophets have been speaking on marriage and divorce and invisible union, the bride, and show the spirits upon the church, and how you'll be deceived in the last days and seducing spirits, going to make men depart from the faith, and all these kind of different things going to come upon the earth in the last days. So then now, when we hit that part of it, then you're going to see how people are going to be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. How they have pleasure in unrighteousness. You see? And they don't have the love for the truth. Then you're going to see the reality of what those scriptures mean. Because this bride had to prove she's not like Eve. Amen. That is the whole thing to prove that she's the real bride. Amen. That she deserves to go back to Eden, that she could stay with all the word. Amen. So then Satan, who was in his infancy and deception back in Eden, for 6,000 years, it come in full maturity now. In the deceiving age, where everything is being deceived. And that's the age we have hit. So then when you hit that time here now, then you're going to actually see how, just like the serpent coming there between Adam and Eve, and the Nicolaitans, the White Horse Rider, come between the second Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Ephesian church, the second Eve. Then right here in the last days now, between the Son of Man and the last day bride, here we see the very same spirit going to come to false anointed ones to bring a seducing thing again. But the church will not defile her skills of purity. She will prove that she's not like that. She is a virtuous woman who is holding a sacred trust sacred. That is what makes a difference, because Eliezer was sent in this evil age. When is the mother of harlots and all the harlot daughters? 969 of them. Amen. To look for a wife. For Isaac. And everywhere he went, he was using prostitution. Some of them nice, some of them standard, but then he was them corrupt some way. Nice of them standard, he was them corrupt some way. Some of them nice, standard, he was them corrupt some way. And he couldn't think of them corrupt. And he was swept it out. And then he prayed a hard prayer. He said, "No, Lord, I need to take about maybe 6 barrels of water. To draw out of that deep well, maybe about 30 feet down inside of there." And again, are we late in the evening time? And I'm looking for a bride. And then, he said, with all this camel and all these tired, weary servants here, travel this long, dusty journey, he said, I know it'll take more than just somebody come and say, singing, "If I could help somebody, I go along with my living, shall not be in vain." Pull the water, say, "Good evening, sir," and walk away. It will take more than just somebody else coming along. You know, very holy and thou. It's going to take somebody going to come to character to be able to qualify, because he know that any kind of a person might have come and fill up one bucket of water or give a cup out of the water they have or something. He know that. But what he asked for was a hard thing. Like Elijah to Elisha, he said, "You ask a hard thing." He's not going to take character, because he put that prayer. That prayer was like a fleet before God. When Gideon said, "Lord, if it's you sending me, when that dew fall, wet that whole ground and don't touch that fleece." He said, and then, "Furthermore, for double confirmation, a short token, wet that fleece and leave that whole ground dry. I don't know it's you." Now, if he wanted to go and had a desire to go, because he was ambitious and he wanted success in life, or he wanted to be seen as some leader among the people, he might have asked some easy thing and then said, "God, answer my prayer." Amen. But he's not going to ask a hard thing, because I don't want no self-intelligence at all. It better be God and nowhere could be mad in anything at all. No, it's sincerity what will make a person do that. Because they all self they put under pressure. That's the kind of character God looking for. Amen. And when he asked that, he knew the path to that kind of test. It wouldn't take no ordinary person to do it. And the same thing, God come looking for that bride. And all these years, been hunting out, looking for character, like when boys come in the field. I had all the maidens here, and say, who is that one there? See? He said, I hear the decision you make. I hear you could have gone back. I hear you're a very popular person out there in Moab. I hear you come from a fine family. Look at the life you end up in today. You're a widow mother-in-law, you're a widow yourself. And then you're living the life of a peasant beggar out here, gathering the leftovers in the field. And you're young still. But all that is revealing a certain character. In the harvest time. In the hour of redemption. Don't fool yourself, church. Don't think you're going to waltz in and going easy. Every person to be tried and tested to the final point to prove that they're worthy of the promise. You don't meet Jehovah Jireh, so by inspiration, the Holy Spirit, put it back and say, keep Mount Moriah alive before the people. Don't ever get to a place where you stumble over the simplicity of God and you're full of conceptions of who God is, what God's doing, and get educated in the message and miss God walking on the road. Because God's going to turn back one day and say, you so and so, you so and so, you so and so, you so. Don't get lying.
Yes, brother. True.
Amen. You see, that is the hour we live in. Long ago, we used to preach and say, the hour is coming. But how are you so sure? Because the spirit of lawlessness that is moving is so strong. The enemy was like a trickling through, but like a flood now. That was a prophecy speaking about a day. The enemy shall come like a flood. And the Lord shall raise a standard when gross darkness cover the earth. And thy light is come and the glory is risen upon thee. That was called a special time when the enemy is going to come like a flood. But how did the people darkness come upon the people? Because the enemy that came like a flood out of the Euphrates River blocked the sunlight out from striking the people. It kept the devil moving there and blocked out the effect of the word, the sunlight from upon the people. So the people's lives was there, religious as ever, but not influenced by the sunlight. Not under the effect of the sunlight. Because when that prophecy was fulfilled, God showed the interpretation. What do you mean in the Bible, gross darkness among the people, the moon blackout. Why? Because the earth blocked the sunlight from striking it. A worldly spirit. Worldliness. Overshadow. The people. The church. It was prophecy. Worldliness will overshadow the people. And Jesus said, take care. Remember Lot's wife. Take care of your feeding and drunkenness and revelry and the cares of this life. And that the snares of the world will come upon you. Did he say it? Amen. So if we build a little bit, I want to just take this last quote, the last one I read here last week, and just pick up from that this morning here. So just read it back to you. 1 Million, page 2 and 3. He says, he's supposed to, according to the scriptures, return to us in the last days. In this type of ministry, he has returned. That will be after the baptism of the Spirit, speaking in tongues, divine healing, so forth, all this in the capping of the Pentecostal message, which we are in now. It's what we are speaking of today, the ministry of Christ Himself impersonated among the people. And let me tell you this. You're not playing with men no more. Don't you realize it's God among His people? Amen. You mean to say that was only a saying? That wasn't a revelation to this church? That wasn't a revelation to people in the message? It is easy to say the Lord is going to have to shout and explain all those things and descend away among His people? Amen. Fixing things to the resurrection? Amen. His never failing presence amongst us? Amen! People think. Let me explain this here. It is Christ who preaches to the lost. It is Christ who delivered the captives from hell. It is Christ who descended and went down into hell, created on the earth. It is Christ who has to deliver them from the house of hell. It is Christ who has to preach to the lost. It is the ministry of Jesus Christ reincarnated back in the church. Who is going to tell Legion? It's Christ! Impersonated in the people! If Vinny, this one and that one, no! It's God we're talking about. Because if a supernatural devil's loose, there must be a supernatural ministry to face that challenge. There must be a supernatural gospel preach. There must be an anointing there to break that, to bind that serpent in a knot. To crush that serpent head. There must be that spirit there. Amen. Ever asked as a fear of all these people, they thought was Peter. Amen. And that's all we come to. So he says here, the ministry of Christ is in person among the people with the very same thing that he did when he lived in his body, the bride, which is part of him doing the same thing as husband and wife, or king and queen just before the marriage ceremony. And the time and the hour we are living in, if a person don't know which way to go, what to do, or how to turn, you are not walking by faith anymore. You are just guessing, you are presuming. And presuming is to advance without official authority. So if we haven't got the real official authority to know what God said will take place this hour, how are we ever going to face this hour? We have got to face it knowing by faith in His Word the things that are supposed to be happening now. Who is going to rise up and say, these are not the things that are supposed to be happening now? Then why is churches drying up? Why is preachers backsliding? Why is sin taking over the church? Why is all kinds of things going on? Why is it going to chaos? Why is people being deformed? Why? Because demon powers have been loose upon the earth. Why is sin becoming more fashionable? Why can't we easily do these things? Pause a little bit. Put on your thinking cap and see. If that is the hour. We've got to know that. And he said that the condition of the nation, the condition of the people, the condition of the church. And the message of God doesn't send judgment without warning first. Never does it. He said God judged a man, God judged a woman, so and so. And God never warned him. He said, don't you say that. No man could select to be first calcified the word of God. A man over the hell, a man that fights with the hell. Is that correct? You see, now watch. We got to know that, and then how to walk out to face it. If you don't know how to do that, you are just what we used to call kind of haphazardly just jumping, hoping you will be there, hoping this, hoping that, and will it be? But God don't want us to do that. He wants us to know what He said about this day. And that's why these vials that have been opened up is to show the part of this day that we never look into in the way we're looking into it now. But the things that God said about this day, hell will be here. The people will be insane. Everything will be deceived. Lawlessness will take over. That's what God said. That people will cross the line and will never be forgiven. That is what God said about this day. When he's under the seal, I was rejoicing under the threefold secret of redemption that's revealed here. And we saw the great mystery of redemption unfolding in those seals. How God is redeeming back Adam, Eve, and Eden, and all these things and bringing it back. And for that, we end up under the vials now, the nice lamb with seven horns and seven eyes. Under the vials is not a lamb with seven horns and seven eyes. Is that no bloody bleeding lamb there? No, sir. The same way you think of it, that God, when he became man, went to the lowest city, Jericho. The lowest city in the whole earth is Jericho. Geographically, everything. The shortest man was looking upon because he came so low. Zacchaeus. Alright? Went and died a criminal death. Go through all those things. We didn't have to do. But because he was displaying how merciful he was. Didn't have to drink the cup. But if it's possible, let it pass. Nevertheless, for dear sake, I'm going to drink it. He was showing his mercy. And the same way his divine mercy his mercy is so divine. His wrath is just divine. Because you read the very Bible in Revelation there, and God was the fierceness of the wrath of God. And he filling the cup of his indignation full and overflowing. And when the people saw the wrath of him coming, they said they began to cry to the monks that hide upon them. Because his eyes wasn't with tears now. That fire in it. His feet had no, wasn't pierced, and now his beautiful feet come preaching. You see, and then asking, nobody to wash my feet with the tears. His feet is brass now. Don't get yourself carried away in your own little private world. Relate to God according to the word. That your own fig leaves you have to patch up and put on yourself. Notice. God wants us to do that. He wants us to know what he said about this day. And then meet by faith because he said that it will be that way. Then we know you are true then. Because you haven't got some person with faith. You got this word of what you must do. And we are hoping that our Heavenly Father will grant that to us this week. Now what's something? Now we've been kind of studying out some of those things and how our darkness come upon the seventh age, this Laodicea age, because you notice Laodicea age ends off the last 2,000 years upon the face of the earth. That's the last age. So here it was in the first 2,000 years, God come and had to destroy the world. Second 2,000 years, then God came in flesh to die and become an atonement. And the last 2,000 years, he came to destroy the earth. And judge the people. Alright. And just as sure as Noah preached, he's not a prophet before that took place, and it happened for the first 2,000 years, the same way, just as sure, it was prophesied in the scriptures thousands of years before, and then finally the hour really arrived, and there really came one who really came and died because it was prophecy and God was beginning to pass his word. It didn't care how long that 2,000 years lay there and those things were said. God was doing it nevertheless since the garden in 4,000 years, the woman would receive a seed bruise of her head. It was coming to pass because the hour had come for it to happen. And all these coughers and mockers, the brothers preaching the other night there, rise up in the last day saying, where is the promise of his coming and all these things? But here, in the very hour God said it will happen, we see it happening. Amen. But what happened? The people have become so blind, they cannot see nothing. Because they are lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. They are lovers of their own self. They love unrighteousness and not the truth. So they're not standing the truth day and night for it to be revealed and complain so they can walk in it. They're not praying against the spirit of revelation and digging deep. No! What is actually happening? You see, they're actually going into a condition that where everything else is shut out. See? And the old little world is shut in. But when God came down after the first 6,000, when he created the heavens and the earth and these things, and he came down in the Garden of Eden, he created man. Man was created on the sixth day. There was a 1,000 years, Peter says. Here God come. In that end of that 6,000 years, walk in the cool of the evening, and he had fellowship with Adam and Eve and them, and they was naked and didn't know it. Because why? The veil covered their face. We'll get another one. The veil covered them. They were in a holy veil. They could look. I'm not lost. I'm not lost there. Could the holiness of God veil a person like that? What about these people in spirits that want to come upon people? The people and people and people and take a peep in them filthy magazines and take a peep in them filthy films and take a peep in those things. But they're walking back in Eden. Veiled with the presence of the Almighty God. They was into a realm. Because why? They didn't come through sex. Adam and Eve didn't come through sex. Adam came by creation. That is spoken word of God. And he was a byproduct of him. And they were in another realm to what the animals was in. When man was born by sex according to the law of the animals, then he was in the same animal environment, don't get sensual and fleshly. And that saw the nature of the world and the things of the world. But yeah! He was created after the angels, like the angels. God let the man in our own image and our own likeness. A spirit man standing there. Then God became in the flesh, and he was still in another realm where they had dominion over the earth. But the moment that veil is torn away, if there's a way that veil could be taken off, they would begin to see the sin. They'd begin to see the lust. But that veil had to be removed, had to be taken away. But while that veil is here, it's holy, it's undefiled, it's pure. In the presence of Almighty God, the affections is certain things above. The meat is to do the will of God. See, but when that veil is taken away, you become a beast. You become like the animals. See, now watch. We're going to hit this here. How a lot of young people here, good for them too. We want to come in here and walk in here and think you're looking nice and you're well dressed up and all kinds of different things. You better get Christ in your life. You come in here, maybe looking for some boyfriend, some boy coming from some girlfriend, but you will have to face God. You have to face the Word. Because this is no playground at all. As I said last week, the playground is Dunkin' Avenue. This is the battleground up here. Now watch. When you come here, because you're thirsty for God. The river of the water life class is flowing, and the Spirit and the Bride is saying, come, he that is athirst. And if the thirst we satisfy in here is the living God. Any other thirst in the wrong place. And if the word find a taste and a thirst of the things of the world inside of you, then you should be at the altar.
Amen.
Amen. Now watch. So here there was, in that atmosphere back in the Garden of Eden, and they were so covered, they didn't even know it. Now that, what something I want to show this, that was back there at the end of that first 6,000 years. Man was created in the 6 day. And God was showing that type was going to happen. And when the Lord came down in the evening time, like in this evening time, he descended, the Lord descended from heaven. Where was Adam saw the voice of God walking. Heard the voice of God coming with the pillar of fire. That's how he came in the evening time. Blast of thunder, amen. And God dropped down there in Eden, in the cool of the evening, and he came walking. And something was wrong, the atmosphere was wrong. Amen. The birds had hushed their singing. The animals had flee. Something had happened to interrupt God's divine program. The lifeline had broken. The continuity was broken. The time barrier was broken. The earthly host began to go to the course. The heavenly host was still in order. You see, something had happened to interrupt God's program. So the time God came down there, he sensed it. So what will happen here? So then afterwards, he came where God is watching all the time what had happened from verse 1 to verse 6 in Genesis chapter 3. And right inside there, here was Eve, veiled with the veil. But the serpent came to remove that veil, showing the spirit that's going to come in the last days. Bible said, take heed, the seducing spirit will make many depart from the faith. When that spirit of lawlessness comes, and through his ethics, and putting over the word of God and all these different things, here it was what began to happen. He began to get at the veil, her thinking. That's where the veil was. He began to put mud inside of the air. And her thinking began to come muddy. And the veil began to come over her eyes. And the same thing, she was veiled from by the Holy Spirit. And while under the veil of the Holy Spirit, it was death. From the time the veil began to tear away, she began to desire it. It began to look good to the eyes. And the serpent was working on that veil to take that veil away. Now we're going to find out why God is going to stone the churches with hailstone in the last days for committing adultery. Because they'll be seduced. And they, like the woman in the world today, will not want to have the responsibility to Christ, to the world, to pray and these things. They will not, aliens would not be able to find that virtuous woman out there among the organizations, out there among the lukewarm church members, out there among the formal in the message. You will be able to find it. That bride is not the people who is calling the message, you know. That bride is the people who is transformed back in the image of God to prove she's born with bone and flesh with faith and faith, virtue with virtue. The bride is the word. I'm going to show you how that word, that soul, is what God is working on. Because that's where redemption lies. Redemption don't lie with your body. If you got your body, can't be changed if your soul don't change. Because the transforming power is in the soul. That is the seed there. And if that is God's thought, it's only then it come back to the word. And that is what you felt from the word. And when you come back to the word, that proves your redemption. When you come back with the characteristics of the word in your life, when you become the word, that proves your redemption. That proves you have the change, the earnest of the change of your body. That proves your body has turned heavenly. That proves that bring your flesh in subjection to the world inside your soul. And the third pull, God is not on the flesh. God is not on the spirit. God is working on the soul. That's the part of you is feeding with the spiritual vitamins to be forming the image of the word to bring a resurrection of the last trump. Amen. He's growing you up to a full resurrection. Amen. He's growing you up to adoption. He's growing you up to a change of body. And he know, and he's working in that channel because he knows that's where your redemption lies. Because his soul is redeemable. It was part of him to begin with. So in the third pull, when he went to the soul, he found many in prison. So the prison now was rotten seeds. They were not part of the word. So they relied on the sensations. And they reject the word and was disobedient to the word because the soul was not part of the word, and the soul that sinneth or disbelieveth what the word shall surely die. And that's because you don't believe in the body and you don't believe in the spirit, you believe in the soul. Your body is seated, yes, smell, and touch. See? And the soul that sinneth or disbelieveth is part of the word. See? That's it. Look upon the lust of adultery. That part of the word, your soul disbelieving that part of the word. Omar doesn't cut a hair. Where a gambit think that man is abomination. Your soul disbelieving that part of the word. So your soul is dead. But now you're being filled up with education and ethics and what people call success in life. So you feel you're important. But in God's sight, a woman living pleasure is dead while she's alive. So when you're banking on your moral status, the social status, your job, what you have, your possession, your friends, you're dead and don't even know it! In the sight of God, nothing but a filthy flesh that don't even work to the themselves will burn in the fire. Because the soul can't believe God's word. Because in that soul, if that soul is anointed with the revelation that you are part of the word and you are living the age when redemption is being revealed and that transforming power is bringing you back in the image of the word, then you're conscious that that's where you're heading. You're going to push anything contrary to that away. Because you're attribute of putting that body for a testimony to reveal God in the age that you're living in. Especially when God come and reveal to you the seven seals, there's a lot of dead people walking around. Hopeless! The grave, the bombs is prepared in this nuclear age for them. So the righteous can walk on the ashes of the wicked. But they are dead, really, just to the core. And when you see that, and you have the evidence of eternal life, have the hope of eternal life, in the hour when the judgment is, the wrath is already being revealed from heaven, and you could be in an assembly where the Holy Spirit, day after night, bring out his word to keep shining the light. The shepherd rod that bring you out of the ditches could make a way and lead you to the promised land. That same rod going to turn back around and bring judgment upon the people. Is that correct? Moses' very rod that destroyed the Egyptians in the sea, that brought the plague with the same rod up in the Red Sea to take the people to the promised land. When all kind of circumstances come, that rod open up the way for them. Whenever a dark hour comes, that rod open up the way for them. That message, that word that was among the people in the hand of a shepherd wearing sheepskin, draped with sheepskin. was under that sheepskin. What animal life? What the life of the real lamb under that sheepskin? That's why the mess of redemption being revealed to shepherd and sheep could come forth so plain unto them. What did the first thing God put Adam and Eve in? What did he clue them back in? When they tried to make fig leaves to replace God's holy veil. They realized it was veiled by something and the veil was torn away. So they said, we had to get a veil quick. So they get a fig leaf and they make a self-made veil. But when God came, he took the lambskin to clothe them back, because that, the real veil, was the life that was in that lambskin. But like said, animal life, but it was only speaking of the real life, the Holy Spirit, that availed them to begin with. Amen. Now watch. He began to mess up a thinking, because she began to lose her taste. And when the church began to lose its taste for the word and begin to get a worldly taste, it's because a veil is being taken off. Hide me in thy pavilion. Set me upon a rock that I shall not be moved. Hide me in thy tabernacle. What are you speaking about? Where's that pavilion? Where's that veil? Where's that hiding place that the believer is? If you abide in my word, abide in my word. Elijah went into when the judgment is coming. I was veiled, shut away from the world. He wasn't interested in the howls. And all was happening out there. When they went to Goshen, they get straight under the blood of the lamb. Because there's veil from death that was coming. I want to pause in them places so you can think deep. Where's the lamb? The lamb of Jesus Christ is the word. That's the message we have amongst us. Where's the life of that message? The very seven spirit, the Holy Spirit. The God of that message. You're the very people that the message was sent to call. Way back in the Garden of Eden, God had seen you and thinking about you. When the Lamb was going to come in the last days. When His life was going to be released in the last days. When it will be veiled in this evil age. This age of gross darkness. This age of insanity. Laodicea. That was my island inspiration. Laodicea, the god of this evil age of Satan. This, what is the evil age? Laodicea. Gross darkness. Which age? Laodicea. The age going to insanity. Which age? Laodicea. Hell creeping the earth. Which age? Laodicea. Children of darkness. When? Laodicea. Age of apostasy. Laodicea. Set to the false. Laodicea. Only one way to escape this age is to come to the thinking man filter to know you is part of the bride. To be taken up in the mystery. To see a life, the transforming power in you. Because, let me tell you, while if you're not taken up, then what's happening, you're caught up in the extension of the fifth dimension here. But in the extension of the sixth dimension here also. Amen. That love has dropped down among the people. Amen. A love for one another, yes. That is true. But more so for the word, the truth. Amen. Hallelujah! Amen. Men there, yeah, love for one another, yes, that is true. But the real love is for the truth. Amen. Because it's not loving one another, no! You're wrong, you're wrong! Amen. Hallelujah! Amen. Godly love, corrective love! Amen. You can't find among one another, Christ and the love of God. Hallelujah. A love can't point to me to die the love of God. That's a phony love. Amen. Hallelujah. She was veiled with the presence of God. What is this seventh seal? What is this revelation, the rapture? What is the Holy Spirit quickening the seal and transforming power? You are doing what? Renewing your mind. Why? Because your mind was conformed to this world. Being not conformed to this world. Cosmos. Your thinking was education, what a teaching school. Logic, through your brainwashing program, and now through the opening of the seven seals, we realize all these are institutions of the devil. That knowledge you get in college will never give you salvation. It'll help you to earn a living, to do some work for the devil while they're outside there honorably because you're a Christian in Satan's kingdom. But let me tell you, the knowledge you're going to take it to heaven is the knowledge of Jesus Christ. But you were brainwashed so high. And wait until, maybe that time is more like a gate. But maybe later in the week you'll get much it. You'd see how through television all these things was designed not for entertainment. It was told to people just for the entertainment. But it was designed for brainwashing techniques. For programming people. It was designed to strip the woman of the morals. By constantly displaying all these Hollywood stars. This fashion, these trendsetters. A bunch of daughters and 40 getting married 6-7 times. All they're doing is they're taking all kind of hormones in the body to keep the body in shape and all kind of foolishness when it only worth 37 cents. They're crazy! And they don't even know it! All women trying to come back young! Thousands of dollars in cosmetics, more than the rent and the cost they even eat and live! They're spending cosmetics to project a facial something! And that type of a spirit is upon the church. Lukewarm natural church. That it have in its jaws, in its grip. And trying to gain more territory by in creeping up on the bride. And that is where God have to make heaven high. Keep it high. Don't bring it down. God will give the church power to go up. Hallelujah. Not to bring heaven down. Give the church power to go up. Hallelujah! To rise like an eagle, get 2 eagle wings, to take you above the filth of this world, bring you up into something real. Now, little sisters, little brothers, now you watch this, listen. God is veiling you with His word here, nightly, the thinking, cleaning out the flues. Changing your values. Some might be drastic. Like Moses, he may have to walk away from all great position of importance. From all these things. Maybe to go in the mud and do some little job like a slave. From the king to a yard boy. But sometimes God wanted to teach you certain things. Might be hard on your flesh, might be hard on your social status, you might have to bear reproach it, but you need to be put into Christ. It was in the will of God. Amen. I ain't telling you to go and say, leave your job and try to become a yard boy to say, please God, you know. If God requires of you, I'm just trying to show you in the Bible, if God requires of you, you will know, God will know what is your devil, and God will speak to you and show you what you have to straighten upon. And when that, while you're being veiled here with the word, the devil is coming through reasonings, imaginations, promises of self-exaltation and power. See, no, but look what inside it comes in. The people all these things that look so modern, look like it's in the majority, then they begin to reason God can't kill all them people. And they keep watching God in Calvary. But that's only one side of Him. That's the front side. What is in crying here? But in the back side is a lion.
Amen. Amen.
Not a lamb. Bleating, it is finished. But a mock and put on a tongue and say, "Hail King of the Jews." But the back side is the real king.
Amen.
You know what we're saying?
Amen.
Now you watch something. And this is where you see a lot of people, when that come and you losing that, and being eroded, being taken away so easily from you until you're losing your conviction. And you think, well, it's all right. And then they say, maybe, oh, they're preaching that to frighten people. These prophets of doom.
That's right. Yeah.
What's the matter with them at all? They only want to kill people joy. After all, God give man sense and wisdom. He's a social being. And he must have a little interest in life and social activities. See? You can't be a religious fanatic. Amen. What are you going to serve God 24 hours a day and all the time? God, God, God? After all, they must have some other form of entertainment. You see, to get other forms of entertainment, you gotta have a taste to begin with. And you can't have two souls, two husbands there at the same time. One will be dead and one will be alive. And the taste you have shows which husband living inside of you. Because the love of the world is inside of you, the love of the Father haven't entered in that inner part as yet. But when the love of the Father enters that inner part, you become a prisoner. You have opportunity to do things and you won't do it. You're bound. Your life is not yours. Hallelujah! You're chained to dust, said the Lord. You stand there and God give you a vision of what the blood of them martyrs. You're delivered. You know things of value come in great price. You're watch it placed in your hands right here. You know any demon power coming down more on our side than the devil's side. Hallelujah! Yeah. Glory be to God in the highest. Yeah. Amen.
Hallelujah.
You see, those things. But when that veil was taken away, Satan now, with his reason to, but what could do? You still veil? You mean to cover up yourself? Get some fig leaves and dress up nice, maybe get the greenest bunch, and maybe even give them a little inspiration to sew it, and tell them, but you find this design take you nice too? But it's filth in the sight of God. But her eyes now, she forget her sin, and she find, the fig leaves fit me good. How come we didn't think about this before? We are the only ones have that. And they forgot what happened. And when God came, then God ripped it off. See? And God slew a lamb. And the first message was ever preached was preached over lambskin. Was preached over blood of a lamb to cover up the people. Now you tell me something. You see, back there and back here is the very same. There's shepherds today. There's the sheepskin today. There's the blood of the lamb today. There's the life of the lamb today. It haven't changed. It has been magnified. It just come negative to positive. But the same redemption. Same God. Amen. Quickly. Let me hit this thing quick. Here. Now watch. So when he told, he said he didn't pay anything. When he told When you, so he was right when he told you, your eyes will be open, and you'll know right from wrong, and you'll be as God's that way, knowing right from wrong, because God didn't let them see themselves yet, that they were naked. So they didn't, so they knew they would know right from wrong. And he was right, but you see, it was contrary to the word. And he says now, oh, how evil lust of a PhD, how she lust to be smarter than she was. Notice, man, woman, man and wife, both naked in the Garden of Eden. Now I'm going to close. I'm just going to hold you a few minutes. Watch and close now. Compare this. How much like that man and his wife, both in Garden of Eden, without one such a clothes on them, and knew it not. For why didn't they know it? For they were veiled to their senses of nakedness. By the holy veil of the Holy Spirit. They could look right at each other, and they didn't know that they were naked. They were veiled with the Holy Spirit of holiness. They were veiled. And unless we can begin to look at one another and see a brother fighting to make it, because judgment is coming, he have left the world. Because he saw the fountain, he saw the plan of salvation. Only you can see a sister there coming to the work of the apostle in the street. But God's grace come and pick her out. Yeah. Wash away her filth. Yeah. Jesus died, hang there. Yeah. Amen. God, he saw she wanted to be delivered in the last days. Yeah. She wanted a better life. Yeah. Amen. Amen. And then here, to his prophet, who wouldn't compromise in his generation, the all kind of thing was offered him to compromise, to buy him out. He, when he looked back at Calvary, and he saw what his Lord did, and he saw his people there trapped in bondage, the shepherd came to deliver the sheep. Amen! Amen. Hallelujah! And then what happened? When he came there now, to bring deliverance, then how could we look today and see? Well, look at sister there, look at brother, look something there. The veil is taken away already. And no veil at last. You would see a sister, a daughter, but a princess, somebody separate from the world, and God take away the evil spirits out there. Amen. People see a church come out of a darkness, come out of the bondage of man. Rulership in the denomination. All kind of false creed and dogma. Man see being sold in the church. Corrupted the man for the simplicity. And God bring them out. The pillar of fire come for Exodus. A prophet bring God said the Lord. And they will come to inject their dreams. Inject their thoughts. Inject their own little private interpretation thing. Inject all their own private experience. All their own faulty. And then corrupt the man in the church. And take him out from the world. Bring them back under man rulership. It's dirty and filthy, and God will kill them for it. Why? See? And when you look, if you can look and have respect, if you can consider that a mother's children, that is a father, that is some young man, that is some young girl there, trying to have a virtuous life, maybe in a home, trying to be an example, praying and crying, Lord, let me be a lamp to save my family unsaved outside there, loved ones outside, they're still bound, and they're trying to live a life to surrender themselves, God, preserve the word that God could save them. You see? Could give you your family, and then somebody's going to pollute and corrupt you. You're going to throw your whole family in hell with you too. For that kind of fleshly desire.
Yeah, true.
Why? Where are thinking going? Where is sane thinking? Where is the mind of Christ? Whose meat is to deliver him that sent him and to finish the work? Amen. Think about it. I am praying here. I think the more we grow, the more we walk, the more we see that God can kill some of us along the road. But the grace of God sparing us, bringing us down to His tender hand. Because what you never call sin and contrary thing back there, when you get up here, we see how contrary half of them thing was. When you look back there, and then get conviction. Amen! Much as the copy and be corrupt. Some of us, instead of we get better, we come under the light and get worse. God thing that we didn't do it under a false, something we come under the truth. and then become more corrupt. And we fail to see we got worse instead of getting better. So they were veiled to the sense of nakedness by the holy veil of the Holy Spirit. They looked at each other and they didn't know that they were naked. They were veiled by the Holy Spirit of holiness. They were veiled. God veiled, yet today can look and not lust. God veiled. God in you. See into your eyes and say, sister, we are better dressed than that. Just her knee showing. He said, we are better dressed than that. God veiled. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Not trying to take it off. Say, lengthen down and cover your knee.
Yeah.
See a certain style and see it an attribute as something in the world that they pick up because of some contrary influence. Say, sister, get back in God's pavilion.
Yeah.
Amen. You're coming out. Lusting after fashion.
Yeah.
Amen. Where is man with godly principle?
Yeah.
Where is man with backbone? Where is sons of God in the last days? Cut to reflect the seven colors of the diamond. Where they are? Where is real gold trying to fire seven times? Not a bunch of iron pants everybody calling gold. A lot of monkey running after shiny things.
Amen.
But character, stand here
right.
With godly conviction.
Amen.
Because you're a prisoner to the world.
Amen.
A servant of the Almighty God.
Amen.
There was once man and the other was woman. And they did not know they were naked because the holiness of God kept their eyes veiled. Notice, God hid their conscience from sin by the holy veil. The Holy Spirit in your life will have you so far from unbelief. It has to be hidden and locked away. When you have the Holy Spirit, you don't go dangling in unbelief. You don't go playing along unbelief. Get next to yourself. Like some phony Holy Spirit. Not the one in the Bible. That you can't have in modern day religion. But you call the Holy Ghost in old time religion that brings things from undercover. It'll make you stop your line, it'll save you when you die, it'll start the devil flying. Amen. And Balaam says, he says, here it is. She pulled off the holy veil to see what sex really was. Compare that. That was Eve did. Notice, the Holy Spirit of God's holy word had the man and woman naked and didn't know it. Now get me taught, I know it is not. Why? A holy veil. And then in the last age, I know it is not again. Why? A lost veil. One, they had the mind of Christ back here. One, they're in an insane mind over here.
Yeah.
And truly, 6,000 years is from verse 1 to 6, Revelation 3. And that's why all the religious world blind. They can't interpret that little part from verse 1 to verse 6 in Revelation chapter 3. To see the serpent seed. Amen. They were veiled from it. In the midst of the garden tree, don't you touch it. The day you will surely die. Didn't know nothing about it. Daresn't to touch it. They were holy veiled. They were safe in God's pavilion. They were alive. They had no death around them. Oh my. If this church could only break into that this morning. You want to see miracles? You want to see the power of God? You want your garden taking place? I can do that. Have a lost veil on. How can you and you're halfway somewhere? When death all around you, sin creeping up upon you, the Philistines are upon you. devils is wrapped around you and deforming you. There are no debt around them. They are perfect love, one for the other. That is what the prophet is talking about. Among the elect. Veil! You look, you see the purchase of the blood of Jesus Christ. And you know to interfere with that, what it is. Because you're thinking shame. You know God will judge you for it. You know, you're not getting one over on God. You're not pulling wool over God's eyes. You're not doing something that will be hidden. No. That perfect love, perfect understanding of the love of God.
Yeah.
They had God's word and they kept it. And they were alive and safe in God, even with no debt all around. How could debt strike a church? How could debt come in? How did debt come in back then in the Ephesians? And in Joshua also. And they couldn't stand before the enemies and tell them that a curse thing from around them. How? You see? See what it is? Be adults. Be little children in love, but be adults in understanding this morning. And break in to see if your experience with God, if your walk with God, if you're coming to service, if you're hearing the word, if the affection your heart, if that is where you desire to see your life, if that is the kind of Christian you desire to be, if that is the kind of deliverance you want to experience in your being. Then you know again, really, now you're entering the rapture condition. Now you're getting the bride material. Now the holy veil of God is dropping around you. I'll tell you, don't fool yourself. No way. And I just want to say it hard. All in God know it's been recorded here on natural tape and been recorded on God library. I want you to scream back out the voice of many waters is said. Amen. With full mountain shame and judgment to those that you preach to who sat here. While the anointing of the Holy Spirit is coming and taking the word and crystallizing and making it plain and late in the end, telling the church, as I told you, I read that quote there for you the other night, right there. Judgment is breaking forth and just keep the bride in step, stay in line, stay in line. Is what's happening? Don't get away from the word. Be sensitive when you sit down there. Don't sit down there and study your time. Don't sit down there and get your mind preoccupied. Sit down there and say, God speak to my soul. God deliver me. God wash me. God make me ready. God let me break. Be on the strong barrier to see what is happening. Let the reality of it set upon my life. God let me see Christ living in me. Sit down there and stare with no wild stare and with a one day mind somewhere. Say, God, I need to be shut away in a back room in the pavilion because I'm still feeling some forces out here. Hide me away! A little deeper. If it's against God, would be against that's your enemy. Anything against your word is your enemy. Everything is for the word is your brother. He's a part of you. She pulled up the holy veil and she sex. What really sex on here the church today? They're pulling off that veil. God say, look, many false ones going to come. They're going to seduce many, make a department of faith. They'll just try to come to you on one promise. Just one little bit of reason for this word. It come to you, dust a little bit of prophet. The pillar of fire vindicating. It was to prepare you. Man going to come afterwards. And they're false of the true message. But then everybody wants a little extra something. Everybody wants something else. And then we're going to pull the veil off. Somebody sort of fall down. So they're so carnal. They want to fall down too. They want that sensation that lady getting. They don't even know if that is God giving her that sensation. But if you're going to be talking in tongues, just like adultery and sex and all kinds of things on the film, on the television, the theater, in the magazine, all over the place, on the newspapers. It's throw every day in the public face. And it comes to regular things. Everybody loves that. See? Come popular. So then somebody become a little old lady to dress with a modest dress. Become odd. And they start to feel shame now that you're that way. Your veil is being taken off. Your mind being muddied up. I went to church, went to run lust after that. See? And just rely on sensation and not start about bringing forth the life of the word, bringing forth children in the image of God, instead of bringing forth all kinds of spiritual idiots. What's happening? Then you start to realize what you're doing. She wants that pleasure in unrighteousness. Like Eve wanted, like the little, this year, church end up in a harlot that will be stoned. The fowls of God burn a house with fire. See? The holy thing that God put over her eyes, she wanted knowledge to know what it was all about. So she pulled the veil off to see what it was all about. She listened to the devil and noticed what a place it put her in. And they have done the same in each age. They have taken the intellectual side and now they have built a kingdom of Satan knowledge. They see that he had sold and he had took the world to an Eden. I saw that we don't have the time to lean on those who get during the week. How all these televisions and schools and all things were designed to program the people and shape, conform them to the image of this world. And when God comes, he can't be backside. There's a righteous man molding the saints and sages to transform you and renew your mind. And then when your mind is renewed, you become an oddball. Because you can't fit in that society no more. But you're bound for another civilization. You're bound for another city. Hallelujah! You're on a different trip altogether. Because God has veiled you with the holy veil again. Amen. And your mind has been renewed. And through the revealed word, you have filtered your thinking. Amen. Your soul have a different taste to see Christ manifest his word and conform in your life at this age. That is your taste. A holy man taste. A thinking man filter. Amen. You should now notice, look at Revelation 3, the leadership church. You think it in your mind. Now notice, she, Eve, is Satan's queen. See, Satan got the Eve before Adam got her, that is right. To beguile her. The serpent was the husband of Eve before Adam even knew her. He beguiled her. And that was his age ended up with all his sex and immorality and lasciviousness and idolatry and all his filth that God made to destroy the whole thing. That's why. And that's why I said the other night, some of these young girls, like a little fluid and sprinkle upon them, a lot of these brothers, a little fluid and sprinkle upon them. You better be careful. You're going to think your money up. See? Just, he says, she is sitting as Satan queen, she's rich and worldly good, blind, naked again. She don't know it, just like it was in God Eden. But now, not because the holy veil is her face, but the lost veil that she took off God's holy veil. And put on a veil of knowledge for lust. And that's all being shown. And you will see how when they make them films, recently they've been bringing all them films. And just like how God have and had a message in every age, every season had an anointing, and that anointing released a message to the church, and the church under the influence of that message became anointed with the message, and then they went forth to fulfill God's righteousness of that day. And the same way they started to bring them films, and they started to bring it out and bring the fashions out. And when people feeding off of that, they fail to realize that those things is coming seasons to get the people into what they want them for that season. You see. Because all this is put out there for a purpose. And then they started bringing those films, first that are telling you that with all these hate and revenge films. Amen, the whole thing. Not merely just hate and revenge. And being sold that in the subconscious mind to the people, his soul was feeding upon that. Just like you become what you feed upon. You feed upon the word, you're going to the image of Christ. Because your soul don't eat natural food. You eat physical food with your physical body. But when that soul is going to get an appetite for those things it will deform your soul. Amen. Then all them, these are 6 months, every week they build a new face. Some beauty queens splash on the papers. You were some young girls still in school. All kind of ridiculous postures in the papers. Just to get yourself in the papers. It shows how low the morals is. It shows how bad the thinking is already. It shows parents, how delinquent parents are, if they have that. When a thinking person look at those things, they see how homes is broken down. They see how far the malls is eating on the nation. They see how the newspaper people, but it's agents of the devil to actually publish that and fill the minds of the people with it. You watch all television pictures. You watch all these things. What's going on the screen there? That's why children go down the right them places. That demons loose upon the people. All this pornography loose upon the sex demons upon the people. Become lusters, beasts. Filthy. See? When you watch those kind of things, you see what they're coming to. Are we not talking about the world no more? We don't know what is one creeping the church. Because the people who profess to be inside of here will go out and get money if they're not going to foolish and come in here and pollute the place with it. See? But let me tell you, I have no part, nothing like no unbelief. A lot of people want to walk straight and love God or find a place to go. I don't care if I become the most hated cult, I'm going to stand here and preach the truth. Because I have faith, God, I preach too much already. I'm too hard already. Not the time to start to live it now. You see, because all what I preach already, I have faced that. And the among them preach, and the among them place I want them preach. Not to say I have a desire to bung and preach. No, I don't say that. But what I'm trying to show you, we do things and walk away from it many times. It's like a passing thing, a flair, a fashion for the season. But fashionable any time. No way. Prophet said we are walking over hell hanging on the word of God. And our chin is strong as the weakest link. See? Put a veil over her. A lost veil that she's blind to it being sin. Now as a woman desires, all these things numb the people's faculties, wear away the conviction, the darkness upon them, and they do evil unconscious of it. They're doing evil in the sight of the Lord, and knoweth not that God is going to judge them for it. Knoweth not, it's death what they're doing. But they're doing it. Because the desire for the Lord is stronger than the fear to be destroyed by God. So the fear for God's destruction can't refrain them from the desire of the Lord and pushing them to partake. Where do you think a church is going to stand when she play along with the word? When she could sit down and her husband could teach her, pull her aside, close up to her in the inner veil and speak to her, because she had been given a sacred trust of this generation to walk the street, to bear his name, his life, his signs, one of the preeminences. That by her, she'll be the instrument of mercy and divine judgment. And God speaking to his church over and over, the husband, his wife. What do you think it is? And then that church walk away and he talking, man. If it's the word of God, then it's put in Christ. Then if you don't believe that part, me don't believe the part, they die for him either. Maybe they don't believe the part, he's going to he's going to take his bride out now and judge the world. Because why? You have been stripped. Your veil has been taken off. You look at sin now and look delightful. You don't see judgment when you see sin. You see something good to partake of. The fear for God's judgment, it'll strike you no more. The calling, the hope of your calling, your vocation, your place in Christ, the sacrifice that was paid. When these things lose value and other temporal things become more valuable than that to you, it shows you thinking with your mind and not with your heart. And Satan is in that control tower of your mind. But God's in the heart. And if God's in the heart controlling you, He will control every desire. He will steer you the way He wants you to go. The time is gone. I want to hit one quote and close quickly. Just going to hit something here. Pay attention to thinking man's filter. If you love one speck of the world, you love a God not even you. Now, if you love the world, I mean, maybe out in adultery, out drinking rum, you out running a woman, I mean, that's, you know. That is in it too. But if the love of the world, you want to be a more important person in life, you try to keep up with the Joneses. You want to send your children to a better school. You want to further yourself. You want to use all the beauty aids and the different things to make you more presentable and acceptable in the society. You love the world. If you care about the world, think about you more than what God says in His word that govern your life, then you love the world. If you compromise on God's word to please man, flesh, out there, a bunch of serpent seed, then you love the world. Amen! If you're more busy laboring for me that perisheth and thinking with all kind of things out there, the worldly thing will pass away. You love the world. If you can't give much time to God and put Him first in your life. You're worldly. That's Bible worldliness. So I know what the rest is. The rest of the filth and done in heap up in the fire to be burned. Worse than that. And well, he says, it's something down on the inside, drawing the soul in you. The soul is drawing your resource to the outside, down to the spirit, into the soul. And the soul loves the world, it's dead. I don't care how much anointed it is out here in the spirit, and how righteous it is out here. Dead down in there is dead. For he that loves the world, or the thing of the world of God, not even him, no matter how religious, the truth filter that way, will filter all those things out and bring nothing but the trueness of God, the word, into the real true soul. They are like Esau, outwardly okay. Esau is religious on the outside. When it comes to religion, it seems more religious than Jacob was. He should be a better man than Jacob was. But on the inside of him, what it was, he was outwardly religious, but his thinking was not filtered. He didn't think right of the birthright. He didn't think that God meant, that the birthright meant as much as God said it did. You mean to say you're going to come right about and say Jesus displayed in the life of a prophet the full redemptive blessing? And I promise giving dust to the Lord as it comes to tighten up and you see tighten up. And you see the Holy Spirit among the church. And something going to explain away the value of God's promised word for today. Something going to come and tear away your veil, veiling you out from the world and shutting God's presence and put a lustful upon you to make you leave God's pavilion and go wandering out as a wandering star. After you see all that, come on these 19 years and see how true God promises death is striking everywhere. The last plague, darkness upon the people. The world of insanity. Daily. All the signs wrong about us. He didn't think good of the bush right. He didn't think God really mean what He said about it. What do you think about it tonight, this morning? You hear, what do you think about all these things and the hour and the third pull is at hand and the dynamics is where you feel the Holy Ghost and look great things for us in our midst? What do you think about these and the message that will come to give us back what we lost back in Eden? What do you think about it? What do you think about your job? What do you think about your status? What do you want the people in the world to think about you? But until let's check our desires. And then see what kind of filter you've been drawing through. Let's check each one of us. I'll be closing out. Here and out across the nation, check your desires, what you really want in life. Check what you're fighting for. Check what you are here for. Check what you go to church for. It's good to go to church, but don't just go to church only. That won't save you. Just check for a few minutes. Say, is my objective? What kind of filter am I drawing through anyhow? And if you won't cope with the word of God and your soul don't do it, then there's something wrong, for it shows up your taste. He knows when it passes it unto life, and if the love for the and it loves for the he wants the word to be confirmed and vindicated in each age he waits for it. For he's a holy man and he got the desire to see God. Others just want to join a church. This man wants to see God. He don't want to see him in a bunch of creeds. He don't want to see him in big fine pipe organ, the cathedral, high crosses, polish up scholars if the colors turn around. He doesn't see him in a theologian. He wants to see him in the confirmation of his word. Is that your desire this morning? Is your thinking filtered? And notice, if his mind filtered to the word of God, God's filter, he won't look upon a woman. He won't think she's pretty. He'll think she's a Jezebel. He'll think behind those letters is poison fangs stinging. And the Bible tells her, the gates of hell, a man walks into them like an ox going to slaughter. There's a thinking man filter. What do you desire? When the word, when the woman comes down the street just like that, and you man turn your head, gaze along like that, you have to use a thinking man filter. Because when you're doing that, you're committing adultery. For the filter said, whosoever looketh upon a woman to lust after her, had committed adultery with her already. Turn your head, thinking man, get away from her. She's not pretty. She's a serpent. That's right. Twist like one, act like one, sting like one, keep it from her. Oh yes, the word of God is a thinking man filter. Anyone knows that. That's what your soul is filtered through, the word of God. And when a thinking man comes through God's filter, it gives him a holy man taste. That's right. When you come through God's filter, then your taste, the holy man taste, it's a righteous man's taste. That's some more, dear. But the time is gone. But check this morning. You see that the darkness has come down and the people is losing the spiritual faculties. And the spiritual faculties, you see man trying to get revival, work against the Lord's revival. Woman go out there and they told them just believe in what the word of God says. Spirit of disobedience, rebellious to the revealed word. You see those things. You know what's happening? They're losing these faculties. They're becoming veiled with a spirit of lust in this evil age. And then the desires, the thinking faculties become numb. Numb to the word of God. They do evil in the sight of God and it don't bother them no more. Because they don't even have the fear God's going to judge them for it. That to whom much is given, much is required. You think about it. Think if I am just a critical, trying to make this rough, trying to bind you or something. Because if I'm preaching as hard as I'm preaching, I like it didn't do you no good. And if preaching easier than that, I get worse. As I say, nobody even gonna drive me up a wall. Nobody gonna come with a little petty foolishness, a little old little sinful impulse and desires and try to tie me up. I come to serve God. I'm not sure coming like everybody else, but when coming to the word, I want to save it from all unbelief. And I think if you stand here and you see we are fighting for life, tooth and nail, because below this we'll be dead. I don't want to speak of it dead and cold and confusion like half of the church in the message. And God by His grace have given us eagle wings. to rise above that kind of condition, to get above the pine squirrels that come out of the barnyard. And I want to stay there. I don't want a storm bring me down. I don't want to get caged in no cage in the desert. That I bung here looking up in the heavens and see where I'm supposed to be. I only beat against the bars and falling back on no sin. Who the Son of Man has set free is free indeed. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Amen. Just have a prayer request here for my mother here. She suffered high blood pressure. She's feeling good. Present, let's bow our heads. Just for a moment here, offer a word of prayer on her behalf. Almighty God, how loving and kind thou art unto us. Lord, regardless of how you would speak to us, we see a love behind it, for we know the motive and the objective that comes from your heart towards us. It is for our benefit, and that we will be better Christians. It should shake us to realization of the hour we are living in. How ungrateful we would be, Lord, so much you have given unto us. So much you have blessed us. So far you have brought us, packing us, when we couldn't carry ourselves. I think of that man who wrote that poem about the footprints. He thought you had forsaken him in the time of his hardest trials, when he saw one set of footprints in the dream. Because all the way along there was two. And he noticed, Lord, in the hardest time of his life, there was one set. Lord, he thought in his heart. His mind was so feeble. He was thinking, Lord, that you love like a man and you think like a man. But Lord, this is the opportunity you're going to show unto him. Your ways are past finding out. Your thoughts are above us. And Lord, when he asked, why did you forsake him? And then he got the answer, that was the time that you carried him. How many a time we think it's our own strength. We did things and overcome things and come true. But we realize it was your strength, Father. Whatever good life we live, whatever good deed we did, it was because of you. Whatever praise we received for it, whatever blessing it wrought to somebody else, it was because of you, Father. For we in our own selves, there's nothing good. As we stand here in your presence this morning, in this late hour, God, you can come amongst us to veil us with your Holy Spirit, to transform by the renew of our minds, to put in the mind of Christ the threefold mystery that you had in the back part of your mind. It's now been put in the heart of the bride as she's been transformed. The righteousness has been revealed of faith unto faith, changing from glory unto glory, bringing her back, O God, to a perfect redemption. That she could stand, Lord, and prove that she's not like Eve. Heavenly Father, let these things become so real in our hearts. Lord, I speak it with sternness as your Holy Spirit show me and give me the unction to do it. Lord, my prayer is that it will have such an effect upon the people. Lord, they will all come and have the thinking filtered. They'll have a holy man taste, a holy woman taste. Lord, the old fig leaves they would take and make of their own self, their own ideas, their own conception of the world, and their own private things, Lord. In this hour, at the end of Satan's Eden, in another 6,000 years in the evening time, here you come and the church again. O God, is veiled naked and knoweth it not. Because Satan has made this world a better place of sinning. He has legalized it. Through all his mediums and channels, he has worked with demon powers and religion and politics and education and science. He has corrupted the minds of the people. Give them a form of godliness. Make them lukewarm Christians, neither hot nor cold. Love is a pleasure. Denying the power thereof. What a deformity, Lord. I will see your spirit drawing back and demonic influence becoming stronger than we've ever felt them upon the face of this earth. And people going into lawlessness that we have never seen. Such a vortex pulling people into itself, deforming them. But oh God, is a whirlwind here. The Holy Spirit. To pull them out of the world also. A wilderness. And transform them into the renewing of the minds. That they can offer themselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. Touch your people once again, Father, with your precious holy hand. Oh God. So many broken and wounded. How we need the power of the cross is the only source for us. Let it flow out this morning in healing for the soul. For we were once darkness, but now are we light. You call us out of darkness to walk in this marvelous light, we should show forth your praises. As we walk in the light, as you're in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses all sin. And we have fellowship one with the other. Then we become children of light. The darkness is past. And the true light now shines. For it is written that in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Let that life be in us. Let our life be a picture of you, Lord. A letter written by your own hand. For this world to see and to read and to feel and to know that you live in us. God, may you grant it. It's a cry of our hearts this morning. Pull us away from every evil thing. Hide us in thy tabernacle. In the secret of thy pavilion. Set us upon a rock that we shall not be moved. Oh God, veil us with a holy veil. Let it fall over our faces. Like Rebecca, when her eyes set upon Isaac after the messenger introduced her, she veiled herself from the world. She went to meet her bridegroom. God, let it be so with us. We be veiled from this world. Grant it, Father. Bless thy people today. Lead and direct them. My own mother standing here, Lord, high blood pressure, feeling well, stretch forth your hand now. May the grace of the Almighty God overshadow her now. Bring her pressure back to normal. Let a breeze of the Holy Spirit bring a refresh in her heart. Grant a peace in her soul. Everyone that might be standing having some need, oh God. Seeing the self needy of you this morning. I'm so needy of you. Oh God, take our lives and make it holy dying. Grant it, Lord. Bless us and undertake for us. We ask it in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. I just sing a little song. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I think it's number 88 or something like that in the Only Believe books. ba niyo ang laman niyo yung belief in Mary the Prince? Soul in exile. Soul. Everyone worshiping him reverently. If you come to the organ, pray. You can come. But let us stay in the spirit of worship. Don't break up the service now. So burdened with sin and distress. Oh, do you hear that voice? Can I hear a sweet voice? I heard a sweet voice say, what about if you are a sinner this morning? You want to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior? Why are you in this service? Why don't you leave those wild stormy seas and come to the refuge this morning to know your path and death unto life? We are tempest waters now. Keep your eye on the North Star. Hail with your compass. With your absolute. I'll sail the wild seas. Don't be shipwrecked in this hour. Don't look and turn your face. Tempest may sweep. The wild stormy deep. But in Jesus, that is word, the word of God. I'm saved. Shelter in the afterworld. Won't you yield yourself to his tender embrace this morning? Take it hold of his word. Take it hold of the word. Oh.
have that hope this morning?
Do you want it?
Praise
the
Lord.
Oh, do you want it coming God for you?
Do you want that holy day? Around your face. Around your heart.
Praise
the Lord. And to my soul. Remember me. Come on, dear soul.
Oh, so are you weary? So like the darkness that's made of love upon you. Let's go to the angel this morning. Let us put a holy veil over the Lord. Yes, like this morning for a look at your Savior.
Time to deliver the dead this morning.
perfect salvation today. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, everyone. Softly, prayerfully, heedfully. Think for your soul, Jesus. Think for your soul, Father. Hypnotized by the devil's beauty. Look for the beauty in the face of Jesus Christ. Which is a Roman Catholic baptism, is unscriptural. While in his presence, spoke to your heart this morning. It would be wrong to close his service. When the believers here at the altar, many serving God for many years, crying out to God for a closer walk, with a stronger hold upon their life. Then the righteous scarcely be saved. The Bible said, where will the sin and the ungodly appear? But judgment will begin in the house of God. Think of it, a glorious opportunity to accept Jesus Christ in his own. The angry soul in the haven of rest. To look away from this world and look unto him. You can receive him this morning to your heart. Before we close in prayer, I just want to give the opportunity. Any person like that would like to show lift up their hands and say, remember me before we dismiss the service. Praise God. The Bible said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation. May God bless you, brother. Our Heavenly Father, there are some hungering and thirsting for righteousness, seeking for reality, seeking for truth, eternal life. So Lord, they are like that eagle among the chickens in the barnyard. They cannot find the satisfaction in worldly things. They're like that dove. They cannot feed with the crow and all the dead stench of the carcasses. They have no God. And Lord God, here they are these. Thirsting for life. As they have shown by lifting up their hands, Lord. In the service, the presence is here moving amongst us. You're speaking, Lord, in such a direct way unto us. Showing us the latent of the hour, the condition of the people. The subtlety through which the enemy have worked to bring them in that condition. And Lord, the coming judgment of God upon the generation. But oh God, in the midst of it all, there is still some. And the song says, there's room at the cross. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. I pray you will remember those who lifted their hands this morning. Lord, I pray you will not just stop there by raising their hands and making a confession. But Lord, they're going to be baptized
Turn away from this world, this wicked generation, and serve you in spirit and in truth. You might reveal your will and purpose to them, that they might know, Father, the purpose that you have put them upon the face of the earth in this hour, for. Lord, you've spoken to our hearts, and only you know in the volume and in the way how you have spoken and how it has affected us. Now as the people will go, may you come in to deal with them. Keep them under the divine leadership of your Holy Spirit, that your perfect will be done. Then that came, O God, this morning in the sincerity of their hearts, crying out for deliverance, desiring a closer walk, standing on behalf of others, whatever it might have been, Father, thou knowest that also. I pray, thou, our great and merciful God, would give unto them as they desire in their hearts, that they might go and sin no more, and live a life worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ, totally separate from all unbelief, knowing it becometh them to fulfill all righteousness. Grant it, Father. Watch over us, protect us, take us safe to our homes, keep us safe in that pavilion, our souls anchored in the haven of rest, our eyes turned upon thee. Grant it, O God. I commit these people to your hands now, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may have a seat. Amen. The ushers will quietly dismiss you. You want to go down and stay back, meditate in his presence a little bit, pray a little bit. You want to see one of the deacons, you assist you, and say if you want to be baptized, whatever direction you might need, you'll be right at the door to assist you and help you and give you whatever assistance that they could this morning. Let us live lives worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ in this hour. But when his word has come to us, this is the condemnation. Light is come, and men choose darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. But if you walk in the light, as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all sin, and you can have fellowship with him. I'm weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me. I'm all wrong. I'll be satisfied.